Hello, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the teacher, and I'm your host, Ali. Well, in this program, the teacher, we try to answer some of the major questions about Islamic teachings. Please stay with us. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Today in this episode of The Teacher, we are going to be discussing two terms. One is called Islam and the other is called Iman. Oftentimes people get the two mixed up or they get confused about it. Today we would like to open up a little research on these two terms and explain what the difference between the two is in the light of Holy Quran and the traditions of the infallibles. So when we look at a verse of Surah Hujarat, it's verse number 14, the dwellers of the desert say, we believe. Say, you do not believe, but say, we submit. And faith has not yet entered into your hearts. See, in this verse of Quran, there are clear demarcations of different words used, right? So when you look at believing, there's a demarcation for that. Submitting, there's a different demarcation for that. And then faith has been connected to submitting. And it has also been connected to the hearts of human beings. Okay, so this is a critical verse of Quran that if you get a chance, open up Holy Quran and browse to verse 14 of Surah Hujarat and, you know, just do a little contemplation. It would be nice. What we have extracted through our research and reading of the content on the topic, it says that Islam, and we're going to go over the differences between Islam and Iman. Islam, when it's used in the literature, the religious or Islamic literature, let it be Quran or Ahadith or Riwayat or Tariq, Islam is referred to as the external form. The external form such that whoever recites the Shahadatain enters into the category of Muslims. Now, the Shahadatain is testifying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his last messenger. These two collectively are called Shahadatain. Okay. After saying the Shahadatain, all the Islamic rulings, they become applicable with respect to the person who has recited Shahadatain. This means he has come into the folds of Islam. He has done that vocal testimony. Okay, that is the prerequisites to enter into the sphere of Islam and enter into the realm of Islam. So now this person who has formally taken these two testimonies is called a Muslim and he is in the folds of Islam. So in other words, submission, that is al-Islam, Islam gets translated as submissions, brothers and sisters. And by the way, Iman, it gets translated as faith. Okay. So this submission, that is al-Islam, is to testify prior to acting. With this, we're going to take a short break. And once we return from the break, we're going to go over what Iman is. Stay tuned.
Having Iman in Allah by Shaykh Hamza Yusuf. if we look at the word iman, which is faith, it's translated generally as faith, iman. Its root is three letters, alif, mim, nun. Amina means to be safe or secure. To be safe or secure. Iman is a verbal noun that comes from, there's 15 forms of every verb. So you literally, each verb is going to create a whole semantic field by which you'll get nuances of the meanings of the word. Iman is from a fourth form out of the 15 forms that literally means to make oneself safe and secure. So the idea here is that faith is an anchoring element in the human experience. And lack of faith is something that creates a type of trouble, of turbulence within the psyche itself. Now we can see this if you're going into surgery. You'll hear somebody say, well, I have faith in my doctor. Because you don't want to go into surgery not having faith in your doctor. You're going to be a wreck. Right? You're going to be a wreck. There's going to be a lot of trauma related to that experience. So the idea of faith as a securing factor in the human condition. Now there's a wonderful, in the Greek tradition, Prometheus gives man fire, which is knowledge. And then Prometheus is cursed by the gods because the gods don't want to have man to have knowledge because man's going to compete with the gods. Prometheus, once he's on the rock in Achilles' play and he's Prometheus bound and they're asking him what he was given, what he gave to man. He said, I gave him fire and I taught him the crafts, right? And then he said, what else? And he said, I gave him faith. In other words, without faith, the human being is in a hopeless state, right? So there's an idea that faith, that we need faith. If we have all the knowledge in the world, if we know how to do all these things, but we don't have faith in the future, in tomorrow, we go into a state of despair. And human beings cannot function in a state of despair. A study that they did with rats, where they would put a rat, I mean, this is horrible things that scientists do, but sometimes they come up with interesting results. They put a bunch of some rats in water, and then they would let the rats swim until they would drown, right? Well, what they would started to do, they'd time it and they'd say the rats would survive a few minutes. Right before the time that they would normally drown, they would pull them out and save them. And they would do this over and over again. Then they would leave those same rats who had been pulled out and saved and see, and they would go sometimes twice or more than they would normally do had they not been pulled out of the cauldron. So the idea is that even the rat has a concept of hope. That even the rat, as insignificant as its brain is, has a concept of hope. That I might be saved, so I'm going to hang on a little longer. Now there's a story, one man asked a man once if he believed in God. He said no. And he said, well, let me ask you something. He said, if you fall off a ship in the middle of the ocean, do you just give up? And he said, no, I continue to swim. And he said, why? And he said, out of the hopes of being saved. And he said, that's God. You see, that there is within us this odd mechanism in our own psyches that says, I'm not going to give up. And this is rooted in this idea of wanting to make oneself secure, of wanting to be in a state of security. So the believer, according to the Islamic tradition, is called a mu'min, somebody who is making themselves safe, right? And the human, and this enables a human being psychologically to maintain hope.
Welcome back to The Teacher. You are listening to IRIB English Radio. Before we went on to the break, we were discussing the difference between Islam and Iman. And we looked at and inspected the verse 14 of Surah Hujarat, in which both of these words are used. And we went over the details of how we define Islam. That is, when somebody takes those two verbal testimonies, he comes into the folds of Islam. Now we're going to step into what Iman is and how is it different from Islam. Okay, Iman, brothers and sisters, is an issue which is internal to the man. Remember how Islam is all about external expression, external testimonies. On the other hand, contrary to that, Iman, it has to do with one's heart. It is internal to man, and it is associated neither with his tongue nor his exterior, but rather his heart. Iman is not only testimony, that vocal testimony that the way we saw Islam was. Iman, as a matter of fact, is the testimony in conjunction with the deeds. Remember how we said that Islam is the submission to testify prior to acting. Iman, on the other hand, is that true faith which is to testify and to act. So, see that action part lumped onto the faith part, right? So this altogether, this package is called Iman. Iman is something internal to one's heart, and it has to do with one's intentions. Islam has to do with some obvious features, which are equally important. Don't get it wrong, though. It is equally important, but, you know, they're different. There could be various motives, brothers and sisters, for someone to come into the folds of Islam. We have seen it in the history. Some hypocrites and some kuffar, they slid into the folds of Islam with evil intentions. Okay, so there are different reasons and motives why people come into the folds of Islam. Even there could be material or personal benefits. Yet, Iman always stems from knowledge, awareness, and spiritual motives. And it is due to this Iman that taqwa, piety, manifests itself. So Iman is that driving force. Iman is something that takes one and compels one to act on the footsteps of Prophet and Ahlul Bayt and submit to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iman is the one that has to do with the taqwa, the internal piety, the God consciousness of a human being. This is witnessed in an eloquent statement of the noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. Prophet says, Islam is a proclaimed issue, whereas Iman is housed in the heart. By means of Islam, the blood of man is safeguarded. In another tradition, the infallible says, by means of Islam, the blood of a man is safeguarded. Trusts are returned, matrimony becomes lawful, but rewards are on account of Iman. See the difference? So Islam, once you're in the folds of Islam, this means, you know, you have certain rights being a Muslim, you know, you've done this, you've done that. But Iman is something that has to do with your actions and rewards. Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, verily, Iman teams up with Islam, but Islam does not team up with Iman. Indeed, Iman is that which settles into the heart, whereas Islam is that which governs the rules of marriage and inheritance and safeguards the shedding of blood. See the difference here, brothers and sisters? So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he has opened up this chest and this concept for us, where he clearly explains that these are two different things. One has to do with the appearance, and the other has to do with the intentions and the heart and that salvation. There's one important note that I would like to conclude with, and that is really, really, really important for all the believers to know, that in Islamic literature, when we go to Quran or Ahadith or Riwayat or Tariq, we may see these two terms used interchangeably. Now, the point is that when you see these two terms side by side, this is when they may mean different thing, Okay? So if you see a narration where you see the word Islam and you also see the word Iman, you should be thinking that they may be different because they're in the same narration. But if these two words are seen not next to each other, right, then they may mean the same thing. We have narrations where actually when Islam is said, it means Iman. You know, they're interchangeable in the Islamic text. So keep that little note in your mind when you read any Islamic literature that when they're side by side, they may mean different the way we explained it today, and they may mean the same, and the two terms are often used interchangeably when used separately. Thank you for listening.
You can talk it down, turn the other way. Fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah. You can write it.
Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed today's episode of The Teacher. Don't forget to log on to our website at www.parstoday.com. PARSToday.com. We leave you in Allah's care and bye.
And there's nothing left around. Can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may feel but it's allowed. Are you listening? Cause I need forgiving. Cause I need forgiving. Cause I need forgiving.